Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, I got a Christmas song I wrote. Yeah, we're gonna rock it out. Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle hot balls. It's a cool tail, hang down the alleyway. Yeah, jingle balls, down the alleyway. Got cookies and vodka on Christmas Day.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tired Studios. 617-779-0985. And we are on the Twitch. Download the Twitch application. You search for 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you can see the show live.
You talk to Nick on there, the little chat board that's on the right.
Sometimes you talk to Mr. Jamelia.
Yep, he logs in and checks in on the show. I don't know if he's there this morning, but when he goes on, this is about the time that he logs on, I think.
Ah, Nicholas French, just breaking your balls. You're doing a great job.
What is he? Use your words, Nick.
Yeah, use your words, Nick.
That's my favorite.
Calhouns.
Wow. Wow. Look at the things.
Kelly's. Kelly's roast beef. Another one of my favorites.
Jeez. John only has to get up one more time.
After this, yep, yep. On Thursday is your last day.
Thursday.
Tomorrow will be very interesting because in your seat, with the one and only Sarge.
No.
Sarge is,
as a matter of fact, that is not correct. Sarge is bagged out.
What?
Yeah.
Sarge has bagged out of doing the show. He says that he has a funeral or something of that nature, but he has bagged out of the show.
Who's here on Friday?
I don't know.
I'd say I might be Hook. He might have the wild card on Friday. I don't know who's in tomorrow.
But it was his own decision, Sarge, not to come in.
If he has a funeral, I understand it.
Yeah, it smells a little fishy.
Okay.
It is kind of strange.
It is strange because
it's a little strange.
He wanted to come on.
I don't know that.
No, and I mean, he's asked. Remember we talked to him back there? He had no problem coming on.
Hang on. I had a flurry of text messages with Sarge a couple of days ago about this. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. And there were a lot of exclamation points, and there were a lot of, where is it? Let's see. You got it, exclamation point. I'll tell Rick we coordinated. He was looking forward to this. This was Monday.
Yeah. I don't think this is a Sarge doesn't want to be in. I honestly think that this is got to be something legitimate because I think he wants to come on the show.
Do they turn funerals around that quickly?
I've been to funerals that were like a month in the making.
Oh, yeah. When my grandmother on my dad's side died, they kept her in a box in the closet for like a year before everyone could get together.
It was like a James Brown situation. Remember that? Like James Brown, they just like kept like in waiting. I think that took like a couple months before they buried him.
Well, everyone get cremated because it makes things 1,000 times easier. And so what happened is, yeah, she was cremated. So she just sat in a box in my parents'.
And so it was convenient for everyone to get together?
Yeah. And there's people from all over the country.
That happens.
That's the way to go.
Sure.
If you like your family at all and you want to make things easy, you just get a little cremation.
I've got no problem with that.
Nope. And so
I'm dead. I don't care at that point.
Right. Well, your soul is certainly not dead, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's floating up there in the old Skyroo. So what's going on? So do they do funerals that quickly? They do. Dan O'Brien, who has 75,000 relatives.
If anyone would know.
I have a PhD in wakes and funerals.
Yes, you do.
How many in the last 18 months?
Oh, okay, can't even count, John.
20?
And those are probably all just direct family members.
Yeah.
It is funny.
It's about that time.
I worry about being a friend of yours, to be quite honest.
I swear to God.
There's like this thing that goes around where it's, you know.
Well, he's got 9 brothers and sisters, so it's a whole thing.
My mother was one of 12, so that's getting to the point where...
You know, oh, sure.
Man. I have 42 cousins.
Jeez. I have 35, I think, because my mother was one of 9. So, I mean, and that just... And they had tons of kids.
In all honesty, if there was an announcement that could have been made, you know, Friday or even Sunday, they could do a wake, you know, today, yesterday, do the funeral tomorrow.
Yeah. He was into it on Monday.
Yeah, you mean yesterday?
They may not have made the announcement of the arrangements. Yeah. It may have happened, but they may have said, you know what, we don't know yet on the arrangement. So it could be a wake today, funeral tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I've been to funerals before where they only gave a 3-day heads up.
At 10 a.m.?
Well, I don't remember what time it was, but 3 days is it's happened to me before.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But was it like 9:30 a.m. or 10 a.m. on a
I do think it was Wednesday? A morning. Yeah, I think it was a morning. I mean, it was like 9 or like, 9:30 or something like that.
Yeah, my mother-in-law threw herself on a casket when her mother was buried. And you could tell that she had not at all planned that. It was very natural. She just threw it. She just flung herself upon the casket.
I always skip. Like, if there's an open one, skip it. I don't ever go up.
When it was going in the ground.
Oh, like as they're lowering it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's tough. That's rough.
No, it's not. It was obviously predetermined.
No. What I'm saying is that's just a strange scene. Like,
the visual, regardless of whether it was planned.
I think everyone was just like, okay, of course.
Right.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. How do you, like, what do you say to that person as it's getting?
I think everyone was just like, all right, okay, you've had your moment. And it was like, the woman was like 94. So it wasn't,
wasn't sudden, and yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't this, like, great tragedy that everyone was around and it was very morose.
Sure.
I mean, there's a woman that had been living in Aventura, Florida for 20 years. I mean, that's pretty much house money at that point.
Yeah, just kind of marking time.
Yeah, in Aventura, if you...
especially if you live there, you're just kind of waiting.
Yeah, your average lifespan in Aventura, Florida. If you don't know, Aventura has got all the great stuff. It's it's not by the beach. And also, it's all high rises. So it's high rise living away from the beach. And the way that that she lived is the pool, they put the pool in the wrong place. So the sun rose behind the building.
Mm-hmm.
And when the man who constructed the building killed himself when he found out that he had made such a grave error.
Oh. Well.
So it was a place that was cursed. But if you get 20 years in Aventura, then you got a pretty.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not at the beach.
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It was a couple minutes from the beach, not actually on the beach.
This was more than a couple minutes.
Okay. It's God's waiting room.
Yeah, it's, like, what would you say, John? Over a half an hour to Miami.
Yeah. Half an hour.
Yeah, and then it's probably a half an hour from the beach.
Yeah, and all those high rises are like right next to 95. So you have a great view of people like speeding off to go elsewhere while you just kind of sit and wait to die.
It's pretty funny because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's like it looks like Times Square.
It's weird.
It's just these massive high rises.
It's just really, really, the whole thing is really, really weird. And my wife and I like stumbled across it accidentally. I mean, we went to Miami for a weekend to just get away from the kids. You remember I took her to Miami for a weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And we were marking time because we flew out of Fort Lauderdale. And we're like, okay, where can we stop? You know, just to kill a couple hours. And we're like, oh, okay, there's a mall over here.
Aventura Mall.
And we just drove off, and all of a sudden, that's exactly what I thought. We're in the middle of Times Square. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, why here? Why now?
It's just weird, and there's just no water anywhere close. And you're like, why would you live here?
Yeah.
That was before I realized the average age of the occupants.
Oh, there's
then
a...
Then you walk around in the mall, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
I mean, these buildings are, you know, 20 stories tall, 25 stories tall, and so there's an ambulance constantly in front of them.
Yeah, it's like you say the Everett Casino is the monolith. I don't know what you would call these hotels, but there's nothing even resembling it anywhere close.
It just fell out of the sky.
It just fell out of the sky, and there are like three or four skyscrapers there.
All right, so work this out for me. So Marshall Hook is going to be coming in Wednesday now instead of...
Friday. All I know is I think Hook is in on Friday.
Okay.
I don't know who's in tomorrow.
Because I think that if Hook was coming in to cover for Sarge on Wednesday, and he was going to be in on Friday, wouldn't it make sense for the two of them just to switch?
Oh.
Good call. Although I think Marshall is doing the afternoon show. I haven't looked at the schedule. Marshall's been filling in doing the afternoon show.
Okay.
So that may be the reason.
Because I would like Sarge in one day before the end of the year.
It's the easiest show ever.
Well, the Friday before vacation for everyone?
Well, that's easy anyway.
Yeah. Sure, without a doubt. But I would like him in.
If
we can't do it Wednesday, I wish whoever's doing it on Friday and him could just flip-flop now.
All right, well,
they
we'll
can't
see.
Because the schedule says that Riley is doing 10 to 2 on Friday.
Ah.
Yeah.
Check all the right. Obituaries.
I'm on it.
Need a mask.
By the way, the Montreal Canadiens had a defenseman by the name of Mike Riley.
Oh,
did you see?
Yes, of course.
I was getting a ton of tweets. I mean,
he was in the penalty box, and it was like, this guy sucks.
Very strange.
Yeah, as soon as I heard Mike Riley.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. All right, there you go. All right, Rich, what happened last night? I'm sure we'll talk about the Bruins.
Yeah, great win from the Bruins. On top of that, Monday Night Football. Man, it was one of the weirder games you could watch in a while with a play that I've never seen before. And Tom Brady and Jim Gray once again have another nice, interesting, awkward moment.
All right. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Hutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, happened last night?
What happened last night? It's brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' Go Twos. Participation may vary. The Bruins shut out Handsome Ralph in his own house.
Pasternak shoots off the side of the cage.
Yeah, Price leaning, trying to go short side high. It's a big play by David Backus.
Center, Pasternak hands to Marchand. He scores! It's men against boys right now. Brad Marchand took that feed as Pasternak completely faked Price. He was down and out. Power play goal. 4-0 Bruins.
Man, how much has it sucked to be Claude Julien this morning? An ailing Bruins missing their two-star players hobbles into the notorious Bell Center and lights you up to the tune of a 4-0 shutout. Yuck, but what a win for the Bruins. Goal in every period, Joachim Nordstrom in the first, Colby Cave in the second, and two dependables in the third put it away.
Turned over, Canadians changing, right circle, Pasternak pushed it out in front, right circle, McAvoy, far side, waiting, fired, scored, David Krejci, and Carey Price disgustedly chucks the puck. Krejci wide open as the Bruins victimize the Habs deep in their own zone. Krejci scores again. 3-0 Bruins.
I think Judd Surratt's getting better. I like that call. That wasn't bad. It kind of matched what happened there. I think that as he's going on, he's getting better. Well, maybe I'm just getting used to him. But Krejci and Marchand get on the board, and Halak saves all 22 shots that came his way, all leading to a much-needed win, one that stopped the two-game losing streak that the Bruins had been on. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards, who obviously is very happy
with his team's performance.
We're able to channel our energy into the first period. I think that was another focus. Like, let's not be on our heels. Let's not sit around and see what happens. Let's determine the outcome and do what we can to make sure we come in with the lead. We did. I thought we really limited. I don't know if we gave up a chance in the first period. There's one off the rush there and off net chance, but we did a real good job reloading, resulted in the first goal.
And you want to hear something that might be shocking to you guys? Claude Julien's power play, not very good.
Yeah, no
stunning development
in Montreal.
Here's Claude, handsome Ralph, talking about why it's not any good anymore. Please say the word tonight.
And I know we're going to say that it hasn't been good because it hasn't been good this year. And it is frustrating, especially on a night like tonight.
Oh, yeah!
It's a work in progress. All we need is keep working at it.
Oh, we got a little today.
Ralph.
Yeah, good old handsome Ralph.
Second to last in the NHL. 12%.
Well, that's not, yeah. He doesn't like the power play. He says, why? He goes, it's just play back.
Just like old times.
Yeah, absolutely. Halak has the worst pads in the NHL, by the way. He's given no thought to them.
I'm trying to think. Like, what way? Because
it's just a Bruins helmet. And then it's his gloves have, or his pads have, Bruins claws that go down them.
Okay.
Very little thought put into the...
That's kind of phoned in. Yeah, I'll agree with you.
Not ornate enough.
It's like he wasn't planning on being around long enough.
That is exactly
like, well, give me whatever you want. I won't be here very long.
Right. Yeah, those are the warm-up ones.
Yeah, give me the generic stuff, and I'll go ahead and look at them.
Sure.
There's like white leg pads. There's no effort whatsoever. But no. He was fantastic last night. They got to get some stars back because, and I know Bergeron's due to practice tomorrow, but I mean, I don't know the Joachim Nordenstroms of the world and
Colby Cave.
Colby Cave at least has been around, but I don't know how long you can keep it up with these guys. And Montreal looked terrible last night.
And I listened to the beginning of the broadcast last night. I was in the car with the kids, and I think the Bruins are 8-6-1 now without Bergeron and Chara.
Man, that is that's all amazing. You can ask for. I mean, that's awesome.
I think that's right. It's 15 games without the two of them, and they're 8-6-1 after last night.
We said 500 would be like a massive win during that time. I mean,
they're playing in a very top-heavy division. Two of the best teams in the NHL are ahead of them by double digits. But the fact that they're still in it, they still have a wild card spot, they're still hanging on here, and you get these two guys back, you have to hope they stick around for
plus,
a while.
But plus, you also found out that you can maybe have two lines on this team now because of Krejci and the way that you can move things around in that fashion.
Well, him and DeBrusque are getting a little bit of chemistry. Just hopefully he'll get back and be a little bit.
Hopefully they rediscover that chemistry when Bergeron comes back.
Yeah, we shall see. Well,
I mean, you could put Pasternak with Krejci without worrying about it at all.
That's right. That's what Billy Jaffe sat in here last week and said.
Yeah. And so you have Bergeron and Marchand on the top line. You have Pasternak and Krejci on the second line. They obviously work well together, and there you go. And there you have it. You got yourself two lines. You trade for a third line center, and then you're on your way.
Well, Brad Marchand obviously realizes that they've had to push through a bunch of garbage as of late.
Yeah, we have a lot of character in the room, a lot of adversity. We've had a battle through the last handful of games. So to be able to travel and have a back-to-back and compete against a team like this and come up with a big win, it's big for our group. And, these are things that we build off of and brings the team closer together. So we have to be happy with tonight.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know why. I mean, this is a regular season game in December. And in the grand scheme of things, I think we'll forget about this before the end of the year. But having watched the Bruins go into Montreal so many times in my life and just get their ass kicked, watching last night's game was fun. It was fun to watch the Canadiens continually turn the puck over in the first period. It was fun to watch Claude Julien stand there powerless to stop anything. It was fun, listening to Jack Edwards, read off how bad that power play was. Last night's game was very satisfying for me. Yeah, more satisfying than a pre-Christmas game should have been, but it was. It was great to watch.
Yeah, Julien being coached takes away some of it, to be honest with you, because
you just know it's going to be disappointing. Yeah,
there are givens in the equation. Yeah, that's true.
It's hey, he can't adapt to the new
No offensive
NHL.
Creativity. Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Well, according to Matt Porter of the Boston Globe, he wrote, quote, Cassidy told me that not only, as you said, Fred Bergeron expected to return to practice tomorrow, Wednesday. Chara might too, both non-contact for now. Now, Bergeron could play this weekend. He said Kevin Miller likely cleared post-Christmas. Vakanainen could practice on Wednesday, and DeBrusk still off the skates, but, quote, feeling better. So there's almost no way, according to that news, that DeBrusk is going to have his regular call-in at 9:20. I'm thinking most likely not. I think we're still waiting, right? We haven't heard officially, but I'm assuming that's not going to happen.
He's not
going to
do it, no.
Well, next up for the Bees, the Ducks come to town Thursday night. Puck drops at 7 p.m. right here on 98.5 of Sports. Well, if you ever doubted the popularity of the Patriots, their game against the Steelers on Sunday, the highest-rated NFL game of the season on any network, earning a 16.5 household rating and a 32 share nationally. That beat the Week 14 Eagles-Cowboys game on Fox, which had previously held the high. Now, here in Boston, the game garnered a 41.9 rating and a 65 share. That is the highest rating of the season in the market, topping the 39 rating that the Patriots-Vikings matchup got in 2 weeks ago. But Tom Brady is being asked about the whole, hey, is this the end of the dynasty? And no one better to do it than his buddy Jim Gray.
Tom, is the dynasty over?
Tough way to start tonight, man.
Well, you know, listen, this is not going to be namby-pamby, all right? We've learned that with Jim Gray.
Well, hey, you stepped in the lion's den.
I didn't see these questions beforehand.
Yeah.
They weren't sent to me.
Listen, this is Castle Grayskull. Jim Gray. Welcome to my castle, baby.
Is that what the show should
be called? Skeletor.
I mean, it does kind of look like him a little bit.
Yeah.
Just put like a blue cloak over his head.
He's like, hey, what do you want? Is this the end of the dynasty? Shoot. Come on. Oh, Jim.
Jim Gray Ballbuster. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, I've only had these questions for 24 hours.
Tom, is the dynasty over?
Tough way to start tonight, man.
Well, tough game yesterday to watch and to play, I'm sure.
Yeah, tough game to play, tough game for our fans. And, you know, we watched it on film today. It's tough to watch. So just had some opportunities out there that really limited us. And not scoring any points or really 10 points on the road isn't going to win you many games in the NFL. So, you know, we got to do a lot better job this week.
A lot of people in Boston, a lot of people who follow and cover the team are jumping off the bridge. Are you?
Absolutely not. You know, I've always said it's hard to win a game in the NFL. And, you know, you can't take winning for granted.
Yeah. I'm going to stop trying.
I'm thinking about dying, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think I might quit today. A lot of
people,
Patriot fans, think I'm going to. Are you? Do you think? Yes, Jim, I'm very concerned about leaving the game.
Well, after that awful performance, you've got Damian Woody sticking his head out of the woodpile and saying, hey, you know what? Rob Gronkowski, he should have been traded before the season started. And that, people were probably
was.
I would say that was something that was on the table there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no kidding. He should have been traded before the season.
But on, I believe this is the, what's the one with Stephen A? I'm not trying to be funny or like, you know,
I'm being loud and controversial.
First take. That's the one. That's the one with Stephen A. Smith. Damian Woody was on, and he had this to say.
When I think of the cliff, I mean, obviously, when somebody falls off a cliff, I mean, it is just a straight drop. And when I watch Tom Brady, there is nothing that signals to me that this dude is a scrub. Because when someone falls off a cliff, that's the first thing you think of is this dude is now a scrub. There's no scrub in Tom Brady right now. I've always pointed to the fact that Gronk has always been the guy that sets the table in the passing game. Gronk is a shell of himself. And because he's a shell of himself, it's trickled down to everyone else. And Max, in a team game, in a team sport, you're only as good as the guys you play around. Yeah. And right now, when you look at the Patriots, these guys, Gronk is not what he used to be. Yeah. These guys can't separate like they once did in the past. And it has an effect on Tom Brady.
These are words that have been said.
Yes. You mean Gronkowski looking like a shell of himself has affected Tom Brady. Well, to that I'd say, sir.
Astute observation.
Right? Color me impressed. Wait a second. You think they should have gotten rid of Gronkowski for a lot before the season?
Okay, so I saw somebody write this yesterday, and I don't know if this is true. But was it rumored that during the offseason, that deal that the Lions had put out there involve two first-round picks?
I don't remember two.
Because,
yeah,
because
I would have remembered that.
And I don't even know if it was specifically even the Lions, but I had read yesterday, and I was like, what? And I don't know if this is just revisionist history, but somebody had thrown out there that they had heard that Gronk could have fetched two first-round picks.
I don't remember
which
that.
I don't know what team would be dumb enough to have done
like
that.
Like NFL first-round picks?
Yes, I guess so.
Could be a fantasy football first-round pick.
Well, sure, sure.
Yeah, you take a 30-year-old guy with a massive amount of injury history and you give him two first-round picks, even though there's a good chance that... And he was contemplating retirement in the offseason.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you're an NFL team, maybe you offer one, a low first-rounder. No. Think about it. If you're... I think we had this exact same conversation over the summer, Fred. I mean, if you're an NFL team that is looking for that one piece, that difference... To push you over the top and get you a Super Bowl, regardless of what kind of health Gronk was in, you say, okay, maybe we get a half a season out of him, but he also makes those one or two catches that gets us to where we need to go. You give up pick 28, 29, something like
that. What was the Lions deal? What was the rumored deal that the Lions were going to give up for Rob Gronkowski? I have to go back and take a look.
Yeah, I don't know about rumors, but it couldn't have been a first-round pick. Because they had a middle first round pick where they took Ragnow.
Ragnow.
But I would find it very hard to believe that the Patriots would have turned that down. All right, Red Show, what else do we have coming up?
All right, well, we will get to Monday Night Football last night. And was one of the weirder games that we've seen, and also proof that really all these juggernaut teams that we thought were going to run away with it on their way to the Super Bowl, no one looks that great anymore.
That's the dog days, baby. It's the end of the season. We'll have that for you. Hear the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They played this a lot. No Rain.
Oh, like as a rejoiner?
Thing?
Yeah. I just think that every time we hear it, it's like a needle in the ear. Just like, yeah.
How was that a hit?
Because of the video. This wouldn't have been a hit without a video. And there's several songs you can say that about. This is definitely one of them.
The video was awful, too.
People like the Bumblebee Girl.
Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a 4-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden at a Globetrotters game. You won't just be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at harlemglowtrotters.com.
Well, last night's Saints-Panthers game was way more interesting than I thought it should have been. One reason being, it was the first time I ever saw this play, which was supposed to be a two-point conversion.
You see a lot of pick plays down here by the goal line, and teams go for two.
Breeze looking for an option.
That, my friends, was a pick two. And according to Twitter, which is always right, it's only been done once before in the NFL. An interception during a two-point conversion attempt returned to another end zone, resulting in 2 points. And as I was watching it, I was like, that is way too much work for just 2 points. That
Who guy said it was only done once before?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I just saw a bunch of people saying that there was an Atlanta Falcons game where that happened.
No. I know it's happened before, but who said it's only happened once before?
I think it might have been Pro Football Talk or somebody. I saw it on Twitter. Once again, I got
to
find it.
Seems to me that's happened more than that, but I don't know.
A two-point conversion intercepted and run all the way back? I've never seen that.
Seen it happen in college, never pro.
Yeah. In the NFL, you don't see that all the time.
No. You certainly don't see it all the time. I thought I'd seen it more than once.
But that wasn't enough to save Carolina. They lose 12-9. It was also a game where everyone's favorite NFL rule reared its ugly head. I don't have the clip. Well, either way, it would be the fumble in the end zone, touchback turnover. as much as people hate that ruling, I don't mind it. If you're dumb enough to fumble the ball into the end zone, then you deserve to have the game swing in the opposite direction immediately.
I just hate that a fumble anywhere else. I just hate it. I hate that rule so much.
It always
much.
Makes me laugh.
And the players don't even know. Like, it's funny. Every time it happens, the players are like, what?
Yeah.
Because it's just such a dumb rule.
Well, they had to do the replay yesterday for a couple of minutes to make sure that it had like crossed the plane and that it was fumbled actually to the end. So, I mean, it does take forever, but it is pretty funny watching this team. Like, I mean, you know, it didn't end up not costing New Orleans, but I mean, they were right there in the doorstep and you just threw away points. And all of a sudden, with I think it was like 2 minutes left in the game, Carolina's got the ball and they're only down by three and they're on like the 25. Which was awesome. It's like just the immediate swing. You're like, oh my God, that is. See, to me, I don't mind that part of it because everyone's shocked when it happens.
Yeah. No one knows the rule.
Yeah, here it is.
Can the Panthers get the stop? As they go, that inside handoff and Lewis. Ball came out at the end there. Flag as well. Tommy Lee Lewis lost control as he was diving for that stick. Remember, the 1 yard line was the line to make. Or do we have a touchback possibly here? Wow!
Yeah, that's what they call him.
Joe Tessitore, really excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're, by the way, they're sticking around. They're keeping that Monday Night Football team. They're not that good, but they're not that bad.
No.
Like they don't drive me crazy.
Like a lot of ESPN outside of the "Hey, I'm loud and controversial" shows. It's, you know.
I mean, what's his name? The dude that they put with Gruden that was your favorite guy, Sean McDonough. He was awful. Like he was like, it was tough to watch him, and you could tell he was miserable.
They're also keeping that kind of wackiness away from Tessitore too. They're keeping all the characters. They're just saying, "All right, Joe, you just call the game. We're not going to throw any curveballs."
Mind Tessitore. Witten's just not very good, but it was his first year. And Booger McFarland is just weird watching him on his throne overlooking the overlooking the field
of
that giant like high chair.
Who thought of it?
A team of people over the course of 6 months thought of that.
Who overthought of that?
What can we do? What can we possibly do? All right, well, let's think. I mean, they put Dennis Miller in a booth for Monday Night Football.
That was kind of funny, actually, because he was just so bad.
I didn't even mind it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, remember Rush Limbaugh was in the booth for a little bit?
No, not in the booth. He was part of the NFL Sunday. And he got fired after the first day because he said something about McNabb.
Yes.
So,
Oh, I forgot about that.
But he was so popular at the time. I mean, I understand that move. And he appeals totally to the audience, that ESPN audience at the time.
Well, last night, just another example of how sure things a few weeks ago are now looking anything but. The Saints, they're having a hard time scoring all of a sudden, and Jared Goff of the Rams looks absolutely lost. The Patriots are finding ways to lose in embarrassing fashion, and the Chiefs don't look nearly as good as they did before Kareem Hunt was suspended.
Houston just lost a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. I mean, the Chargers are the only team right now that you can look at and go, all right, well, they haven't done anything to make you doubt that they'll, like this year, they haven't done anything to make you doubt that they're not going to be effective in the postseason. But then again, the history of the Chargers and Phillip Rivers will tell you otherwise. But I like this because all of a sudden, nobody knows what the hell is going to happen this postseason. And meanwhile, you know, look at like teams like the Eagles all of a sudden are peeking their head out and they might end up making the playoffs. Last night, the Panthers all but pretty much are out.
1% chance now.
Yeah, so they have to win out and then there's like three teams that have to lose out in order to make it happen. Cam Newton looks horrible. I know he's been hurt over the last several weeks, but I mean,
several years.
Yeah.
But
I was telling Rich before the show, it's almost as if he's taken one too many hits.
Yeah.
And it just, the decision making isn't what it used to be. You know, the team you really need to start looking at? Indianapolis. I think they've won 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8.
Didn't they look pretty bad this weekend?
No, they won. They won.
They shut them out.
Hold on. They shut out Dallas.
Yeah, they shut out Dallas.
That's after beating Houston.
Maybe it was the week before. No. I know what it was. Andrew Luck has been, despite their win, you're right. They did shut out.
3 weeks ago, they got shut out by Jacksonville in Jacksonville. But other than that, they've been lights out the last couple of months.
I don't think, though, Andrew Luck has been, because at the beginning of the season, he was, and I hate the term sneaky good, but he was, because no one was talking about how well he was playing. As a matter of fact, I think that, you know, through the first 10 weeks of the season, he was second only to Patrick Mahomes in touchdown passes thrown. And now all of a sudden he's going through what looks to be somewhat of a drought over the past several months.
He's second in the NFL in touchdown
passes. As I said, the first like 10 weeks he was on fire, but look at the last several weeks.
I mean,
they're winning.
That's the thing. The defense is actually passable. Luck has remained upright. I mean, I like what they're doing.
But do you have faith in them in the postseason?
No.
Of course, no. You can't have faith in anyone in the regular season right now, I think I'm just looking for teams that are playing well headed to the postseason.
Right. I mean,
and
New Orleans,
that was your point at the very beginning of this. New Orleans is winning, but they're not playing well.
But they're going to get the number one seed in
right.
the NFC.
Right. They need one win to get to
right.
do that.
And, then you want to go play in New Orleans? I mean, it's a totally different thing.
If New Orleans plays indoors, if they have home field throughout, they're the overwhelming favorite to come out of the NFC.
Right.
But more to your point, Rich, there are a lot of teams that are kind of stumbling here to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at teams that are making a run here. Indianapolis is one of them. I mean, you really can't depend. This is why the NFL is great, because you really can't depend on much. Kansas City don't look like world beaters. Patriots certainly don't. Chargers are playing well. Indianapolis is playing well. You know, who in the NFC is really rolling here?
Yeah,
I mean, Rams aren't that team. You see, New Orleans is struggling to score.
And it's totally different than it was, you know, 4 weeks ago when the NFC looked like it was the class of football. And
right.
Now it's kind of turned around. All right, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
We will get to some information involving the Boston Celtics. And also there was a firing yesterday in the NHL. We'll get to that.
98.5. Toucher and Rip.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. The contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden. At a Globetrotters game, you won't just be watching the action, you could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift.
Well, one of the worst owners in sports is now considering selling one of what could end up being the most valuable franchise in the NBA, and that is James Dolan, when yesterday he floated it out there, maybe I will take $5 billion if you want to give it to me.
And if you want to, I don't often encourage people to do this. Go to ESPN.com, and there is a, I'll tell you exactly what it says, but it's Dolan kicking back in a garden seat going like, I know what's going on. It says, this is why James Dolan runs the Knicks in the Garden without apology.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I learned it from B.B. King.
Oh, geez. Are you kidding me? He says that?
No, but I just... but you believe me?
Well, all day yesterday on TV, they kept showing clips of him. As a matter of fact, they said that one of the reasons he would consider doing it is he doesn't like taking the criticism anymore. He doesn't think it's worth it, and he wants to deal with his entertainment ventures, which means JD and the Shirt Shot.
No.
Is the name of his band.
Fred, did you read what he used to do on the team plane after losses?
No.
All right. The rumor is, and this is all part of the stories that came out about Dolan yesterday and the day before, that he used to play his guitar on the team flight.
Oh, hell yeah. Sometimes you just got the blues.
Like with an amp?
I don't know. I don't know if it was acoustic or not, but he said he used to play, subject everyone around him. They forced everyone around him to listen to him play guitar.
We have the
on
audio
the team
actually
flight.
Of that.
Right.
Because I know he used to make employees go to his show.
True story. That's a true story.
Right, and he would wear like a fedora.
No, it's funny because when Rich and I were talking to Kyrie Irving at Media Day, we said, you don't want to go to the Knicks. This is what Dolan's going to have you do. And he actually believed us.
Yeah, we said he makes the players watch him play like this awful blues music. And Kyrie's like, really? Like, he wasn't even like joking about it.
I know.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, from what I've heard.
Imagine being that rich, because he inherited Cablevision, right? So can you imagine
from
being
his dad,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Being that rich and like self-delusional.
Right. Where you can't understand how bad it looks, me being someone who was born a billionaire singing the blues.
Yeah. Jim Irsay,
beyond that. Being a musician of any kind and forcing people to go see you is bad enough.
It's Irsay-itis.
But then, hey, man.
I mean, it really is. It's like Irsay and Dolan have so much in common. It's like, man, it's all about just living the simple life and having the blues. I'm like, dude, you were born a billionaire.
Right, with a drunk dad. And then he goes, he'll be like, this is Jerry's guitar from the 1969. Truck and door.
Yeah, you have a ton of money. You can buy any guitar you want. Why should I be impressed?
Yes.
Like, honestly, you could buy whatever you want.
Playing the guitar on the team flight after a loss.
Right.
If that's true, that is insane.
Just a maybe rumor, that's, not confirmed, but
maybe
believable.
That's punishment for the team for losing.
Please, God, that's we need to go in tonight.
It's not bad.
He's just like, I'm going to sit here and make you listen to it. And you know it's that, like, snazzy blues. Well, whatever blues it is. I don't care to listen to it, but nonetheless.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
I mean, just having that guy as an owner. And on top of that, him being incompetent. At least say what you will about Jim Irsay, but there's been some sort of semblance, and just they've lucked into having two good quarterbacks back-to-back. Now, it may have nothing to do with him, but at least, you know, you've got that going for you.
Yeah, you lucked out and had the number one pick the year that Andrew Luck popped up.
Right.
And congratulations.
Like, nice, you had a good turnover. And they seem to have righted the ship. I mean, Gregson and all that stuff was awful. We know that. However, like Dolan, what, they made the playoffs the first year? They made the finals the first year was there. And then after that, like, what the hell have the Knicks done? Since 99, I believe, is when he actually took over. Yeah. Like, what have they done other than be a laughingstock? And how you can't get superstars to come play in New York effing city, that's a testament just how awful of an organization you have. When nowadays you have players just wanting to pick and choose where they play because of their brand and how much they can market their name and their shoes. I mean, you can't get anyone to play in New York City.
It is amazing.
Okay, JD and the Straight Shot Blues Rock Band played a show, like a television show.
They played like Jimmy Fallon. I know this.
I was going to say, would anyone guess the one pussy host that would just allow them to like just do whatever they want?
Just rub it all over. Yeah. Just come on. Yeah. The one, whatever you want, James.
And he's rocking leather pants, cowboy boots, and a scarf. Not playing an instrument.
And I think it's a cover that they did, too.
I think we played it.
We played like the first 10 seconds. You're like, all right, this is awful. And like JD and the Straight Shot, or James Dolan and his band, and Jim Irsay have this thing where celebrities will like let them, like real musicians will let them go on stage and like open shows for them just because, hey, this guy's like a billionaire and like, you know, he'll get me into any game I want and you know, wine me, dine me, and you know, fly me around in planes. And everyone in the crowd is miserable. There was that John Mellencamp show where Irsay went up there and played the Bob Seger song, Turn the Page, and you could hear the crowd groaning. Like, what are we doing here? And I think Dolan's band opened for, who was it? And I know that we have audio of, like, the crowd booing mercilessly at this guy.
Performing Shambhala off their album Good Luck and Good Night. Please welcome JD and the Straight Shot.
Yay.
Wash away my troubles. Wash away my pain with the rain in Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow. Wash away my shame.
At least he's talented.
With the rain in Shambhala.
Like, how does nobody tell him?
Everyone is helpful.
Oh, please.
Everyone is kind.
You want to keep your job?
To Shambhala.
I mean,
everyone is lucky. Everyone is so kind on the road to Shambhala.
You can't even keep. Breaking news, the guy can't sing or play, but he's got a cool, like, you know, pork pie hat.
He wasn't playing during that one.
No, I was just going to say, there's not a chance.
No, he wasn't playing guitar in that one. He was just,
or they just, you know, turned him down.
No, he's just standing there. He's got a mic and a stand, but he's not holding an instrument. Oh, I just saw a picture.
He's got the old drunk guy wobble.
Yeah, well, I guess he was an alcoholic. He's no longer, or I guess you always are, but he is no longer drinking. But I don't know. It doesn't go into enough in this article, perusing it about his blues. All right. There is a miserable human that is doing a project that I don't really understand and not reacting well to people that don't like it. We will get into that. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.